Well, this is nice. This is really nice. Church, there's so many things I just want to say, and I could spend the entire morning saying it, and I probably should, but of everything I could say, I just want to encapsulate it all and just say that I love you. I really do. You are so kind. You are so kind to me and to my family, especially during these last 2.5 months. You all have shown the love of Christ to me over and over again. And I know you do that for so many other people in this church family. And if anybody asks what this is, what is all this? It's family. It's what it is. We are a family. We're not family by any sort of earthly blood, but it is by the blood of Jesus Christ that flows through each and every one of us who call upon Him to receive Him as our personal Savior. Once you do that, you are not alone. Once you do that, you are not singled out. You are in a family. You're part of the kingdom of God. Sometimes you feel like you don't want to surrender everything because you might feel weird, you might feel lonely, you might feel outcast. But I want you to know, when you accept Jesus Christ, you accept so much more than just a person. It is all that that person, who Jesus is, that He can offer you. And He offers His family. He offers His family. The Bible says that our Father is a father to the fatherless. He is kind. He is truth. John 14:6, my favorite verse, Jesus saith to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This morning we read Psalm 121. Those first two words is what I would like to focus on in this message this morning. If there's ever something that we need to do collectively, it is to collectively say, and even more, just make it personal, what you need to say this morning is, I will. I will. I've told the Lord many times already, I've not come up here just to talk about myself and to go through all the woes and the hardships and the darknesses that accompany something like this. But I can say here, I can sit here and say that even in the valley, God is good. I've been there. I've never been in such a dark place before in my life. Psalm 23 is one of the most comforting, convicting, conflicting chapters probably in all of Scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, meaning I don't need any other. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We love that. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we come to Psalm 121, we have an I will. Most of the times in our Christian life, we want God to do. God do. God do this. God help me. God rescue me. God deliver me. And rightfully so, and rightfully in our spirit, in the anguish of being in the lowest times of our life and the troubles that we need God, we cry out to Him. But there is a personal responsibility that you and I have. It's to choose. I will. This is more than just the determination to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. This is more than just the determination just to get through it. We're not looking at people. We're not looking at the circumstances. We're not looking at somebody else in our own horizontal view. We're looking at a vertical view. We're looking to someone else for our help. And I'm not here to tell you on how to come out of a certain situation. I'm not here to point to look at my situation and learn from me on how to go through these steps to how to get through this valley. I cannot say that, but I can tell you this. If you would choose, I will. I promise who you will see. I promise who you will see. In Psalm 121, if you notice right above the psalm, it says a song of degree. From Psalm 120 in the following 15 chapters up to Psalm 134, these are all songs of degrees, meaning that these are songs, S-O-N-G-S, of a process, of progress. These groups of songs were especially held out for the feasts that were held three times a year in Jerusalem. And Jews from the north, Jews from the south, from the east, and from the west would come three times a year to the holy city of Jerusalem. And there they would make their sacrifices, whether it's the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of the Passover. They would come to Jerusalem a couple of times a year, I think three times a year. And on this journey, whether it be a one-day journey, a three-day journey, or a whole week's worth journey, these songs would be on their lips. As they started their journey, they would start to sing Psalm 120. If you look at it real quickly, Psalm 120, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." So Psalm 120 speaks of the beginning of their journey. They're not where they want to be. They're not in a place of peace. They're not in a place where there is there's all that safety. That's where Jerusalem is. They're in Mecca. They're in Mesech, and they're in Kedar. They're in places that they should not be. And more than just what this means physically, this is spiritually speaking. When you start out in life, you are not where you are supposed to be. All of us are born to sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seek good. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We live in a turmoil of a world. We live in a darkened world, an evil world where evil abounds. We are not where we want to be, but we are going somewhere. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. The treasures that I've laid up are somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. As a child of God, as someone who has accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Why? Because we're going somewhere. Then we come to Psalm 121. So as Jews from all across the land and from different parts of the world are starting their journey, they're singing this song. Psalm 120, they're not where they want to be. They recognize that they long for that peace. They long for the place of shalom, Jerusalem, a place of peace. And then they come to Psalm 121. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains. It was a key place for their victory. God gave them that amazing place and established Jerusalem and established the Israelites in that place. There are mountains. There are mountains to the north, mountains to the east, mountains to the west, mountains to the south. So anybody who was coming into Jerusalem, any of the Jews that were coming to Jerusalem, they knew exactly what this was talking about, because as you are on this journey, you see, you know where you want to be, but there's something in the way. And if you could just get back on the mountaintop, you could see glory once again. You could see Jerusalem once again. You could have your heart rejuvenated and encouraged once again. And it's always so easy for all of us to praise God and to lift up His name on the mountaintop. It's so easy for us to honor Christ and to worship the Lord and to come to church when life is all good. Because on the mountaintop, you can see so many things and you've experienced so many things and so much good things are happening in your life. But we find here that this group of singers, while this psalm was being written, they're not on the mountains. They're in a low place. This verse 1 is not so much a statement, it's a question. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Where is my help? And the cruelties of life, Satan does not care about where you are in your life. The cruelties and the brokenness of this world, they care not about where you are in this life. Please do not think that there is a level of Christianity where you don't experience hard times. Don't ever think that if you just were more in God's Word, if I prayed more, then less bad things would happen. Our Lord and Savior did nothing wrong, yet they crucified Him. So who are we to think that if we follow the example of Christ, that things should not be happening to us? And here the psalmist says, as they are journeying this way, perhaps it's a long, treacherous way. Who knows what's going on, but they're in the midst of a place where they need help. They need something to lift their soul. And if we could just get on the mountaintop, man, if we could just see Jerusalem, things would be so much better. But we need help now. The journey is long. The journey is hard. But Christians, I want to tell you, when you're going through life's worst things, the journey is worth it. Because Jerusalem is there at the end. And there is a king that sits upon the throne. Pilate almost had it right when he nailed upon the cross the name, "This is the King of the Jews." But in Revelation chapter 21, we have a clearer picture. That He is not just the King of the Jews. He's not just the King of that realm. The Bible says in Revelation 21 that He has a vesture that is dipped in blood. It is white as snow. His eyes are as red as flame. His mouth is as sharp as a sword. And on His thigh, it says, King of kings and Lord of lords. That is who my King is. That is who sits in my Jerusalem. That is who sits on the throne on high. He is our journey. But we're not there yet. We're in Psalm 121. We're not at the end of Psalm 134 rejoicing. By the time Psalm 134, the Song of Degrees, they have made that progress all the way to Jerusalem, and now they are singing a song of worship and praise and adoration. And I thank God that in this time that we live in, God has given us so many reasons to praise His name. God has given us reasons to worship Him. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. God has given us so many reasons to praise His name. But yet so many times we find ourselves dipped in a low, low valley. It could be a valley of your body. A valley of your mind. A valley of relationships. A valley of associations. And you found yourself in Psalm 121. You know you're not exactly where you're supposed to be spiritually. And you know that this is not the way life was supposed to be lived. This is not something that I want to stay here. I need help. Verse number 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Of everything that God's responsible for in Psalm 121, it's a lot. He is the one that keeps you. He's the one that doesn't sleep. He's the one that will not allow your foot to slip. He's the one that holds you. He's the one that will make sure that the sun does not smite you by day nor the moon by night. He will preserve you from all evil. He will preserve thy soul. He will keep you from going out and coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. That's a lot on God's responsibility. All we have to do is say, I will. When you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's more of letting go and letting God. It's less of duty and less of letting go and giving it to God. In the hospital, I had so little things to look at. And I've learned something about Inner Valley. People have said, you know, when you get to the lowest point, the only place to look is up. That's not true. I can look to the side and see where I'm at. I can look over here and see things going on. I can look over here and see the situation. I can look at my foot all day long. But there's a choice I have to make. And there is a choice that you need to make. I will lift up mine eyes. I can look at my foot all day long and get no help from my foot. Do you know why? Because my foot's in a pretty bad situation. I can look at things, and you can look at your situation, the circumstance that you're in, and you can look at it all day long, and it won't change a thing. You can look at other people who are in the same pit, and it won't change a thing. You can look at the same people who are in the same valley and they're going through the same struggles and you think, well, if we're all in this together, I might not be so bad and your situation won't change one bit. The only way that you can rise above and walk through the valley of the shadow of death is to choose, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? I'll tell you where my help comes from. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He won't let my foot slip. He won't let me fall down. He will preserve me. He will keep me. I could look at my foot. I could look at my stamina. I could look at the lack of strength. I could look at my inabilities, and it could just bog me down and bring me further down. But that's not the way that God wants me to get through this valley. He wants me to get through this valley looking up to Him. But you have to choose, and you have to make that choice. I will. You've looked at your finances long enough. Look unto Jesus. You've looked at the relational struggles long enough. Look unto Jesus. You've looked at your body long enough. Look unto Jesus. You've looked at your own inabilities and you've looked at where you are. You don't like it and you've looked at it long enough and you've gone into self-pity. And there's times for that. I get it. There's times of realizing and taking in an all reality of what's happening. But there's a greater reality that's happening beyond what these mortal eyes can see. There is a heavenly shepherd who with his rod and his staff is comforting his children. All they have to do is look unto him. All they have to do is look unto him. The realization of the valley. It's hard sometimes, though, to say, I will lift up mine eyes. About a month and a half, I didn't pray. I'm like, what was I going to pray for? Lord, heal my foot. Do you know what would happen tomorrow? My foot would still be busted up. Lord, get me, I don't want to have any pain. You know what's going to happen in the morning? I'm going to have pain. What was happening was I fixated my eyes on the reality of my valley. And until I lifted up mine eyes and I looked and said, God, It's not getting better. My mind is not getting better. And I need help. I'm looking unto the hills. I'm looking unto the mountains. I need somebody who is higher than I to reach down and rescue me. I looked at this hill. I looked at that hill. I looked at this hill. And then I saw a place called Golgotha, where I saw my Lord and Savior bleed and die on a cross for me. And all the pain and all the anguish was on Christ. And He said, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." He is the one who stands high and lifted up. He is the one who sits high above all earth realities. And He says unto you, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Choose Christ. Choose to say, "I will." Psalm 121, verse number 8. "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." When we've decided to say, "I will. God, I'm taking this situation, and I'm seeing it. It's real. It's happening in my life, and it's overwhelming, but I want to choose, I will." God promises that He will preserve. That means the direction that He has intended for you is secure. I could say that, and you could say that, whatever life's throwing at you has just altered everything about you. And you won't ever be the same. "I'll always have a limp," or "I'll always have this. I'm always going to be damaged. I'm always going to be hurt." We could say that we're always going to be this way. But God has you on a path of righteousness that cannot be shaken, that cannot be turned, that does not go in a different direction just because of things that are happening in your life. Joseph reminds us in the Bible that, look, everything is meant for evil, but God meant it unto good. God has us on a path of righteousness, and He will walk you through your valley. He says, "I will preserve thy going out and thy coming in." I will go out of this day being preserved by God. I will go into tomorrow being preserved by God. I will go through tomorrow's day being preserved by God. I will go out of tomorrow's day being preserved by God. He says, "I will preserve thy, your going out and thy coming in from this time." What time was that? It was the time that they chose, "I will. I will." I had to look unto something different. My wife and I were talking about this, and she asked me, what does that mean? You had to look unto something different. And God has given us three parts to your being. You are spirit, soul, and body. Your soul, who you are, the very essence, your very being, that is who you are. You are made, that image, the image of God, you are made with a soul. That's who you are. Your spirit is your mind, your emotions, your intellect and will, your decision making, and then your body. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, He gave me a new being, a new soul. I am born again. But the mind has to be renewed daily. The mind has to be fixated on Christ. He says constantly to think on these things. Have your mind renewed and transformed, or have your mind transformed by the renewing of your mind. But He's also given us our body. So here is what this has meant in all realities for me to lift up mine eyes, was to take my eyes and to look upon His Word. To physically look upon this book. Oh, my mind was saying, "But you're still in pain." But my eyes were saying, "But look what He's given me. My body was restless and my body was in turmoil, and it was constantly reminding me my mind was going in some dark places, and I had to fix my eyes on something that was greater than my own reality, and it was His Word. It was His Word. I had it up on that that table that they have in the hospital rooms, and I just looked at it. I wasn't ready to open it. I got angry and all that stuff. And I started to connect things in my life. Started to put it together that this is just not Ryan's reality and then their spirituality. It's not like Ryan's normal life and then Ryan's spiritual life. It is all connected. It is all interwoven together. Your life is a spiritual life. And we have to connect this reality to the spirituality of Jesus Christ. That's why we come together and worship. That's why we come together and preach and teach, to try and build our spirituality. And I looked at it with my eyes. I touched it with my hands. I lifted up mine eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Take your Bible, go to Psalm number 62. Psalm 62. Psalm 61. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 123 says, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look into the hand of the masters, and as the eyes of a maiden to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Again, we find ourselves with the psalmists and those who are journeying their way to Jerusalem. That at some point in your life, you will become overwhelmed. At some point in your life, things will just be way too out of hand, too much to handle. At that point, choose to say that I will. Choose to say that I will lift up mine eyes. Choose to say that I will look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Choose to look unto Him who has already gone before you. Choose to look unto Him who has saved you by His own blood. Choose to look unto Him who has been resurrected from the dead. Choose to lift up your eyes unto the hills and see Him who sits upon the throne. Choose, I will. Choose to say that I will. This meant for me to touch my Bible. This meant for me to physically look at my Bible. This also meant to look up at the sky. To look up at the sky. And to say, I'm looking up. I can't see you, God. But I'm looking up into the hills. And I know that up there, beyond what I can see, there is a help for me. I know that my mind can say different things. I know that my mind can lie to me. But I trust in your word. I trust and believe in faith that you are my help, that you are my stay, that you are my refuge. And in that moment of I will, you can feel the shepherd. You can feel His presence. One part of Psalm 23, which I was helped so much. It's probably the greatest help that I've that I've received was that the Bible says that you're going to go through a valley of a shadow of death. The only way you get a shadow is if there's a light above and an object in front of it. It's the only way you get a shadow. You can create a shadow with your hand. You can create shadows because there's a greater light behind that object. There's a shadow in this valley. And this shadow is the figure of death. It looks like that could be the very thing to just ruin my marriage. It could be the thing to ruin my life. This is it. This is what's going to take me down. I want to encourage you, it's just a shadow. It's just a shadow. Because you are held. You are held by a heavenly Father. He is faithful to His children despite your feelings. Despite how you feel God is or how you think about God. Because in the moments in the valleys, you can think a lot of things and you can say a lot of things, but my God has been faithful to me even when I was not faithful to Him. And it is He that is that greater light. It is He that is always above. He is the greatest light. And in that shadow, it's dark. Where's the light? Where's the comfort? It's His rod and His staff. You see, His rod and His staff are not His hands. His rod and His staff are not that warm presence that we have felt maybe at church or during a good song or when things are going well. His rod and His staff are extensions of His comfort. They're extensions of His presence. And I want to say that I have felt His rod and His staff every time somebody came and visited me in the hospital. And for those who you've been there, you know what that feels like. Every card was a tap from His rod and His staff to keep me in the right way. Every time someone came to our abode and spent a few minutes with us there, that was a rod and a staff tap from my Lord saying, I know where you are. I see where you're going. And I'm sending help. And all these things were happening in my life, and yet I still didn't choose I will. All these cards were happening, and all these good things were happening, and people were visiting me, and I still hadn't said that I will because I was so fixated on my problems. There's a time and place for that. The psalmist said, when my heart is overwhelmed, he obviously came to that realization that my heart is overwhelmed and I need help. There's a time and place for that. But as a child of God, there is a time and place to say that I will. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you are just about at the end of your rope. And the thing that you have been fighting and the thing that you have been struggling for, you're just about ready to give it up. Because you're tired of the struggle, you're tired of the pain, you're tired of the fight, and you're just about ready to throw it in because it's too much for you. And I want to say you're exactly right. It is too much for you. But I know a shepherd whose arms are full of grace. I know a shepherd who doesn't sleep on the job. I know a shepherd who has already gone before you. I know a shepherd who knows exactly where he's taking his sheep. I know a shepherd that if you were to say, I will, he will lead you on that path of righteousness. I know a shepherd that as long as you lift up your eyes into the hills where your help comes from, your help comes from the Lord, he will lead you to that peace. And his name is Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, every single person, no matter what your age is, no matter what stage of life you may be in, no matter what chapter you are in life, always choose to say that I will. Choose to say that I will. School is too much. Life is too much. The job is too much. This is so hard. I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of dealing with this. The pain is so much. I just don't want to fight it anymore. To that person this morning, I say unto you, to say I will lift up mine eyes. To lift up your eyes. To physically lift up your eyes. And in your heart, lift up your eyes unto the hills. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He has already gone before you. We are more than conquerors through Him. Please do not look at me as an example of how to get through a valley. All I would have to do is redirect you. All I would have to do is redirect you and say, lift up your eyes into the hills. Because I've experienced the help. I've experienced the hurt. I've experienced the sorrows. But I know a shepherd. I know what it feels like to be led. I know what it feels like to have those mercies all around me and to be renewed every morning. Look at Psalm 134. Look at Psalm 134. This is the last song of degree. They have made their journey. They've come from the east. They have come from the west and the north and the south, and they've sung these songs. And in this song, group of songs, they've started out where they didn't want to be, and they're talking about where they want to be, and they've experienced the trials of the journey and the burdens of the journey, and they've sung about songs of encouraging one another, and they've sung songs about boldness and how we can go forward. And then they come to Psalm 134. The last song, they are just about to enter in Jerusalem. The gates of Jerusalem are opening wide, and they can hear the noise. They can smell the smells of Jerusalem. Their eyes are fixated on the beauty that is Jerusalem. They have traveled such a long way. They have made the preparations. They have journeyed not alone. They have journeyed with other people. They've carried themselves through life. They have been through so much. They have toiled, and they have labored, and they have made their journey. And now they come to Psalm 134, and it says, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. Verse number 2 can become so real to those who have traveled all the way from whence they've come from, whether it was a day's journey or a week's journey. They've all been through hard times. They've all had the difficult journey, and haven't we all? Nobody is outed from having difficulties in life. Nobody is living a perfect life. Nobody has no problems. And yes, on social media, it looks like this mama and this daddy and this family, and they've got it all made out, and their vlogs are so amazing, and their posts are so great, and their pictures are so perfect. It's ridiculous. I hate it. And it looks like some people just haven't made, and look at their cool cars, and look at their beautiful legs, and look at, you know, all these other things. You know, I see people in fast wheelchairs. I'm like, oh, it's in a fast wheelchair. I shouldn't care about wheelchair. And all social media, it can absolutely ruin what we expect of things in life. But here it is. We all go through valleys. But we're all going somewhere. And I want you to know, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your destination is not on this earth. Your destination is heaven. Your destination is a place of peace. Your destination is a place where you will feel the freedom that you have always longed for in Christ. It is that peace of mind, not having to worry about school pickups and school lunches. Amen, mamas. It's not having to worry about the clock in and the clock out, not to worry about taxes and voting. It's not having to worry about this government. It's not having to worry about the things of this world. It's not having to worry about things that are going across the sea. It is all about that one person who sits upon the throne, who has beckoned from all of eternity through his holy word, he has called out to each and every one of his daughters and each and every one of his sons, saying, come unto me, I am with you, I will never leave you, you are my sheep and I am the good shepherd. He that heareth my voice, I will in no wise cast out. You are in my hand and my hand is in my Father's hands. I will not let you go. I will not slumber. I will not let thee slip. I will keep you. I will preserve you from your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore, all the way to Jerusalem, all the way to home, all the way to a place called heaven. That's the journey. And this sanctuary here represents a heaven on earth, if you will. We don't keep CNN on. We don't hand out newspapers of what's going on locally. We have separated ourselves from all that garbage. We have come here to worship the one who is worthy, the one who has led me through each and every day, the one who has granted me grace upon grace, the one who has given me mercies that are new every morning, the one who has loved me each and every day, the one who, when I was unworthy to love, yet you loved me even the more. You took care of me and you watched over me and you took care of my family. You were the faithful one. And when I come to the sanctuary, it is Psalm 134, all stirred up within me. And I come to the house of God and I hear songs about grace and I lift up my hands and as I've experienced your grace and I hear songs about him being worthy, him being holy, him having the strength, him having mercy, him loving me. And as a Psalm 134, I sing along with those Jews who have made that journey, who have experienced it along life's way, and they too have lifted up their hands, and they've said that we will lift up our hands and bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. But it just, you can't just get to Psalm 134. We would like to sometimes, right? We would like to say, okay, God, I'm going to say, I will, Psalm 134. There's still a journey. There's still a process. There's still a walk by faith that you have to take. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, walking through a valley, getting through the difficulties of this life, doesn't mean the instantaneous redemption and the instantaneous rescue from God. Because in this valley, there are attributes and characteristics of God that are revealed in a greater light than you could ever imagine. So when you do get to Psalm 134 in life, or 131, or 123, wherever you may be on this journey, that when you do get to Psalm 134, it won't be, man, I made it by myself. Boy, I remember when it was really tough, but I just dug my heels in and I did it all by myself. I don't know if anybody talks like that, but I don't think so. If you get to heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ, you will only say that I made it here by his grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, I'm making it. You're going to make it too. The valley that you are in is not your destination. It is a part of the journey. We could get mad that God did this. You could get upset. But until you lift up your eyes, you won't move forward. I will lift up mine eyes. I will. I wish I had done this earlier. I'd wish that I had started lifting up my eyes sooner and fought it and fought it and fought it. But I'm thankful for the help and the comfort that God gave me And reminded me, I will lift up mine eyes today. Psalm 71 is another psalm. Choosing, making those conscious choices. Okay, this morning, I'm going to choose to lift up mine eyes. Today, God, you have promised that you will carry me through from the coming out and going in from this time forth, even forevermore. I will. I will have problems today. I will have struggles today. I will have opposition today. But I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. The bottom line is this, church. Will you make that choice today? Will you make that choice today? You could wait until you're absolutely overwhelmed, and I want to tell you, God is there. Or you could wait another day. You could wait until something else happens. Even if you think, well, your life's pretty good right now. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Church, I want to ask you this morning, will you lift up your eyes unto the hills? Where does your help come from? Your help comes from the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, your word is sure, your word is steadfast, and you have preserved it for us today. Now, God, we want to submit it to you, and we have exalted you. We have lifted you up. We have pointed people to you. And God, the Holy Spirit, I ask you would convict people and comfort them. Tell them to lift up their eyes to that mother who is struggling, to that dad who is just on the verge, Lord, to the young person who is trying to make decisions and they don't know exactly what's going on and they're overwhelmed, Father, to the elder who is struggling with the things in their life. And Father, you are there for all of us. I pray this morning that those who need to make this decision would make it today. With every head bowed and as the pianos are playing and the instruments are playing,